Welcome to the Christian Gospel Center. We believe you are about to be impacted by this message of faith and hope. If there is anything that we can do to help you get connected into the church, or if you'd like more information about who we are, please head to thegospelcenter.com.
During the week, God's been really speaking to my heart about what this church means to our community. And it's just amazing the journey that God has placed this particular church on over the years. We've survived many battles, and you know, the good times, the prosperous times, the days of signs, wonders and miracles, and just this whole myriad of stuff in the history of the church. But the older we get, it seems like the momentum we once had, the anointing, the calling, the energy, if you like it, to do what God's called us to do, it's not finished, but it's not firing up like I believe it should be. And God so encouraged me during that time away that He's still with us. And we have an amazing name as the Church of Victor Harbour. And even this afternoon around at the South Coast District Hospital, just meeting with this lady I referred to this morning, just her son greeted me as I come in. I hardly know her son. And he said, "Pastor Lou, it's so good to see you. I'm glad you've come here to be with Mum." And as family arrived, as friends arrived, this is Pastor Lou. And he's part of the church of the Gospel Center around there on George Main Road. And what God really encouraged me is that this church has got such a foundation, such a solid rock foundation that's going to take us into the call that God's got for us as a church. And I believe tonight we need to be encouraged by that. That God has not finished with the Christian Gospel Center yet. We spent a lot of time in prayer this morning, praying for different ones and different scenarios and different situations. And I said to Pastor Phil afterwards, I said, "We don't normally spend that much time on a Sunday morning going from family to family and individual to individual to pray." But he said, "If that's what it takes, then that's what you do." And I felt so encouraged by that also. But it can be discouraging also, because you can look at chairs and you can say, "Well, there's a lot of empty chairs, and where's Tony, and where's Ross, and where's Rosemary, and where's Robin?" And you can sort of go through the list. But where's God in the midst of it? Where's God? God always talks about working with a remnant church. And, you know, as I said, this church could have been wiped off years ago. I'm sure there would have been people celebrate if this church went broke, shut its doors, had to sell up, had to do all these things. But God. And I really believe as this year closes, particularly as this year closes, but also as next year unfolds, we're going to actually start to see some people come who are not yet churched, who wouldn't know a clue about how to put five words together without a swear word in the middle of it. And they're going to come, and they're going to come hungry, and they're going to come lost, and they're going to come weary. And you know, it's not going to be just my job to welcome them, to greet them, to sit with them, to share Christ with them, to share life with them. And I believe therein lies the key. That I have particularly gone outside these doors to do life with people. Sure, I would have loved them to be lined up here at 9:30 on a Sunday morning, busting to get in to hear the Word of God. But in this day and age, it just doesn't happen. I heard what Pastor Phil shared with us this morning about what's going on in here can sometimes affect what's not happening out there. And if it's not happening in here, it's not going to happen there, and it certainly isn't going to happen out there in our world. I really believe as a church we need to lay hold of our vision for a church to be a community-based organization, to do a lot of work in our community, not to get our name out there, but to get God's name out there. I'm not into religion. I think religion stinks. But faith in God blossoms me. It blossoms people and it draws people. So tonight I just want to share this message, but just be encouraged. Our numbers may be few. Our energy may seem light at times. But God is God, and He's the God of the universe. He's creator of everything. I love that song, "I'm Blessed," because it speaks about God's power. You spoke the word and life came forth. When's the last time you spoke life over this church? When's the last time you spoke life over your community? When's the last time you spoke life into your own life? Because God's creative power abides in us, and it does. Then we need to speak God's word that creates a positive atmosphere that draws people. So tonight I want to talk about having faith in a faithful God. It's really been resounding in my spirit for probably 2 or 3 weeks. Like most messages I get, it's not just a 5-minute wonder. That's my message. Thanks a lot. Please go home. It's about a reality that takes place in the spirit of man. As Pastor Phil said this morning, we can have a lot of knowledge about God, but he didn't go on to say that what we need is a revelation of knowing God. That revelation of knowing God will take you into the next part of your dream, your future, whatever God's got for you. So can we just pray over this word before I share it with you? I don't know where I'm at with it at the moment. I'm just feeling a bit uneasy in the spirit, and there's things that need to be broken over this household and things to be released. So let's just, shall we pray? Thanks, God. Oh, God, thank you. God, thank you. Choosing us be your earthen vessels. Be your cracked pots, as Pastor Phil said this morning. Allowing us to be the light of the world because your light shines in us and through us. God, for allowing us to be your voice in this community. Be the salt of the earth. Be the light on the hill. Be a people who love you so much, God, that we will dare not offend you, but we will dare not compromise you for this world. God, you have been so faithful to this house. To the people that have come and gone over the years. The people who have come rightly and left wrongly. Lord, you're still faithful to them. Lord, I know the call over this house is to be a large house. Be a house of open doors. Safe city. With fortified walls. Not to keep people out, but to keep people safe in. God, tonight, Lord, we humble ourselves before you and say, God, come in a mighty way. Come as you did on that day of Pentecost, like the sound of a mighty rushing wind. Set us alight for you, God. Let our flame burn brightly, not just on a Sunday because the song suits or the sermon suits or the prayer suits, but Lord, let it just burn, burn, burn in our hearts throughout our week. Lord, I pray against religious spirits in this place that would bind us. Keep us from our destiny. Lord, for doubt and unbelief that would say, yeah, you might say that, but I don't believe that. Lord, that's a religious spirit. That's a lying spirit. God, let your truth and the power of your Holy Spirit prevail over this place. So that every time the door is open, whether it be one person on duty, whether it be a myriad of people here, but Lord, when the world comes, they see Jesus. They feel the Father's love. They experience the power of your beautiful Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, come to us tonight. We are hungry for a move. Hungry for a change. We need a shift. God, we thank you tonight for your word. Thank you, God, that you've been so faithful to me, my family, to our lives, Lord God. beyond words. God, I want to know, I want you to know, Lord, tonight, I'm faithful to you, God. This church is faithful to you because you've been so faithful to us. Never want to let you down. Never want to stop doing what you've called us to do, Lord. It's this precious, precious name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. We'll talk about the faithfulness of God. You know, God is faithful for us. He's faithful to us. He's faithful because of us. It was in Armenia in 1988. Father and mother, Samuel and Danielle, sent their young son, Amand, off to school. Samuel knelt before his son and looked him in the eye and he said, "Have a good day at school, son. And remember, no matter what, I'll always be there for you." They both hugged their little boy and he went off to school. Several hours later, an earthquake rocked that whole area. And in the middle of the pandemonium, Samuel and Danielle tried to discover what had happened to their son, but they couldn't get any information. Imagine what they're going through. The radio announced that there were thousands of casualties and buildings rocked to the ground. Samuel grabbed his coat and rushed to the schoolyard as quick as he could. When he reached the area, what he saw brought tears to his eyes. Amman's school was a pile of rubble. Other parents were standing there crying. Their children were lost somewhere in it. Samuel found the place where Amman's classroom used to be and began pulling a broken beam off the pile of rubble. He then grabbed a rock and put it to one side and then grabbed another one and another one. One of the parents asked him, "What are you doing?" They said, "Digging for my son," Samuel answered. One man said, "This is going to make things worse. The building is unstable, can't you see? It's likely to fall down." And they tried to pull Samuel away from his work. But Samuel set his jaw and kept on working. Time went on and the day drew to a close. One by one, the other parents left. And the firefighter came along and he said, "Samuel, this is dangerous work, man. What are you doing?" Samuel looked at the firefighter and said, "Please, won't you help me?" The firefighter left because he had more important things to do. Samuel kept digging. All through the night, into the next day, Samuel continued digging. Parents and children came and placed flowers and pictures of the children they'd lost on the ruins. Samuel just kept on digging. He picked up a beam and pushed it out of the way. And he heard a faint voice. "Help, help." Samuel listened, but he didn't hear anything again. Then he heard the voice. "Papa." He began to dig furiously. Finally, he could see his son. "Come out here, son," he said. He was so relieved. "No," Amman said. "Let the other kids come out first. Because I know you'll get me." Child after child emerged. Until finally, little Amand appeared. Samuel took him in his arms and said, "Why did you wait?" Amand replied, "I told the other kids not to worry. Because you told me you'd always be there for me." Fourteen children were saved that day. one Father, faithful. Friends, tonight, how much more faithful is our Heavenly Father? Whether we're trapped by fallen debris, ensnared in life's hardships, caught up in life's struggles, we're never cut off from our God's faithfulness. He's true to His character. He's reliable. He's trustworthy. He can be counted on always. Try to work out a simple definition for faithfulness. And this is what I've put together. God's faithfulness means that everything He says and everything He does is certain. God's faithfulness means that everything He says and everything He does is certain. Friends, He's like no one else. He's 100% reliable. 100% of the time. I can't put my hand up for that. He does not fail. He never forgets. He doesn't falter. He never ever changes. And He certainly never ever disappoints. He says what He means. He means what He says. And therefore does everything He says that He will do. That's your Heavenly Father. That's your God. He's faithful. I want to just read out some scriptures to you tonight, and if you've got pen and paper, please take them down. Do what Pastor Phil said this morning. Read them during the week. Don't leave yet, Nike. It's just getting to the good part. Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 9. Reading from the New Living Translation. Understand, therefore, that the Lord your God is indeed God. Isn't that a powerful line? That the opening word, understand. That the Lord your God is indeed God. He is the faithful God who keeps His covenant for 1,000 generations. And constantly loves those who love Him and obey His commands. Let me read it out of New King James. Therefore know that the Lord your God, He is God, the faithful God, who keeps His covenant and mercy for 1,000 generations with those who love Him and keep His commandments. Let me just tease out that scripture a little, if I may, tonight. The Lord, your God, is indeed God. He's the Lord. He's God. Your God, the Bible says, He's God. Now, the next few lines really captured me. He is the faithful God who keeps His covenant for a little while. Couple of generations? No, the Bible says for 1,000 generations. And constantly loves, how often? Constantly loves those who love Him and obey His commands. Deuteronomy 32 and verse 4. He is the rock. His works are perfect, and all His ways are just. A faithful God who does no wrong, upright and just is He. Joshua 21 and verse 45. Not one, everyone say not one. How many? Not one. Of all the Lord's good promises to the house of Israel failed, every one was fulfilled. Isn't that a powerful scripture? Not one of all the Lord's promises. If you were to go through and count up all the Lord's promises, you would have pages and pages and pages of God's promises. But Joshua records not one of the Lord's good promises to the house of Israel failed. Every one was fulfilled. I don't know any man on earth that could fulfill every promise they've made. I don't know any multinational company, any banker, any head of government that can promise like my God promises. Psalm 25 in verse 10. All the ways, everyone say all the ways. How many ways? All the ways of the Lord are loving and faithful. Are we faithful to Him? Because He is faithful to us. Psalm 89 and verse 8 reminds us, O Lord God Almighty, who is like You? You are mighty, O Lord, and Your faithfulness surrounds You. Listen to that one. O Lord God Almighty, who, excuse me, is like You? You are mighty, O Lord, and Your faithfulness, what does it do? Surrounds Him. Amen. So when we put these verses together, and there's many, many, many verses talking about God's faithfulness, both in the Old and the New Testament, I think it's important that we see that they establish God's faithfulness, not just in a minor way, not just in a secondary way, but they are a major part of His character. To say that God is faithful goes to the very core of who He really is. Who is God? He's faithful. Amen? Put it this way. If He didn't keep His word, He wouldn't be God. Have you ever broken your word? Made a promise to someone? Come into agreement? Yeah, I'll do that. Yep, I'll be there right on time. You can count on me. All been there? God's not like that, is He? He's the God of more than enough. He's the God of just enough. He's the God of when you need it. He's there. If you've got your Bibles, come to me with to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Never take God's faithfulness lightly. It's a bit like grace. We take it so willingly. We partake of it so willingly, sometimes undeservedly. It's almost like a demand on God. Yet God is faithful to us even when we fail to be faithful back to Him. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 9. Reading from the Amplified, it says, God is faithful, that is reliable, trustworthy, and therefore ever true to His promise, and He can be depended on. Wow. Your Bible just says God is faithful. Amen? Good old English language. God is faithful, reliable, trustworthy, and therefore ever true to His promise, and He can be depended on. By Him you were called into companionship and participation with His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Your Bible might just simply say, God is faithful, by whom you were called into fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. So let's look at that word faithful, shall we? Greek word pistos, P-I-S-T-O-S. The word faithful in English can mean faithful, or it can mean full of faith. But the Greek word pistos actually lines up with that. It means words like trustworthy, trustful, believing, sure, true. So based on that, we can say how big is your faith to God depends on how faithful you are to Him and to His Word. Your faith to God. What is your faith to God like? Are you faithful to your workplace? Are you faithful to your marriage? Are you faithful to your family? Are you faithful to your local church? Are you faithful to people that you do business with? Are you faithful to God? Because He is ever faithful to you. Bill Bright, who used to be the president of Campus Crusade for Christ, compared the attributes of God to a car engine. Pistons, fan belts, water pumps, thousands of moving parts all whirling and twirling within a small space, making power for us to drive our car. Think about this. And the parts all working harmoniously as components of the whole engine. Isn't that the way God's attributes function too? If you took away God's love, God's character would be incomplete. God's love works with all His other attributes, like His justice, to produce the right kind of results. We could compare God's faithfulness to the oil in the engine that keeps the internal parts running smoothly. God's faithfulness means that each attribute in His character is working at full capacity at all times. Imagine trying to drive your car without oil in it. See Mr. Warranty Man over here. Sign up before you're doing your motor. Is that right, Chris? Got your business cards tonight? Good man. God's faithfulness means that each attribute in His character is working at full capacity at all times. When does God's love ever fail? Never. Why? Because He's faithful. When is God less than holy? Never. Because His character is pure. And He's always faithful to who He is and to what He says. A.W. Tozer wrote it this way: all of God's acts are consistent with all of His attributes. No attribute contradicts any other, but they all harmonize and blend into each other in the infinite abyss of the Godhead. Interesting, isn't it? A.W. Tozer. So God's faithfulness is at the core of His very nature, His faithfulness. He is knowable. He is knowledgeable. He is holy. He is the Creator. He is not omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent. He is just. He is sovereign. He is unchanging and loving. Why? Because He's faithful to His own character. He never changes any of His attributes. Paul wrote in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 24, "The one who calls you is faithful and He will do it." The one who calls you is what? Faithful, and He will do it. So let me look at four. I've only got four, not 12. Four what I call magnificent reasons why we call Him a faithful God. Number one, He is faithful because He is faithful. He is faithful because He is faithful. Have you got your Bibles there? 2 Timothy chapter 2. Way Pastor Phil told you to bring your Bibles. Check what I'm preaching. Must have been listening to my sermons. 2 can't be faithful because you're unfaithful. Can you? might want to be. That's why I put this one first. God is faithful because he is faithful. Listen to what Paul writes to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 7 through to 13. Consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all things. Consider what I say. Sounds like the opening lines to a preach, doesn't it? And may the Lord give you understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ, of the seed of David, was raised from the dead according to my gospel, for which I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even to the point of chains. But the word of God is not chained. Hallelujah, isn't that good? Therefore, I endure all things for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. This is a faithful saying. Remember, this is all writing to Timothy. For if we died with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, cannot deny himself. Think about that in context of your life. If you've died with him, you also live with him. If you endure, we also will reign with him. I would have put a little but in here. But if we deny him, as so many believers have, he also will deny us. If we are faithless, right, look at these two words, faithless versus faithful. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. Why? Because it's one of his attributes. He cannot deny himself. God is faithful because that's his character, friends. Just like he's holy, just like he is love, just like he is righteousness, you and I, the world, cannot make God not faithful. We cannot do that. Whatever you have done, whatever has happened in your life, it will not make God less faithful towards you. Amen? Number two, he is faithful because he can never forget his promises. Wow. You ever have your kids come up and say, but Dad, but Mum, you promised. Or as a child yourself, Mum, you promised. Dad, you promised. Psalm 105. Let's flick back to Psalm 105. Psalms are full of the word faithfulness of God. This is just one of them. Psalm 105, verse 8. He has remembered his covenant forever. How long? Wow. 2016, God, you made that promise way back then. I haven't forgotten, he says. I haven't forgotten what I promised Abram. I haven't forgotten what I promised Noah. I haven't forgotten what I promised Samuel, Jeremiah, Nehemiah, Isaiah. I haven't forgotten what I promised David. I haven't forgotten what I promised Habakkuk. The Bible says he has remembered his covenant forever. The word which he commanded for 1,000 generations. And come down to verse 42 of the same passage. For he remembered his holy promise and Abraham, his servant. Remember he said to Abram, I will bless you. I'll make your name great. I'll make a great nation out of you. You'll be the father of many nations. And I'll bless those who curse you. Bless those who bless you. Curse those who curse you. And this will be a what? An everlasting covenant. And when Ishmael come along, God didn't say, bah, nullify that. You blew it. He said, Abraham, father of many nations, my covenant promise stands a thousand generations. It's a never-ending covenant. Isaac comes along. Eh, that's the end of it. No. God said, my promise is forever, and I'll never forget my promise. God is faithful because he keeps his promises. Your Jesus, my Jesus, our Jesus is an unchanging God, and so is he with his promises. Everything, and I mean everything that he said or says, he will fulfill them. If he promises us that he will heal us, he will heal us. But he promises that we need to believe. He promises, we believe, and he heals us. If he promises that whosoever believes in him, he will save, he will. That's why your and my salvation is so pure. Titus chapter 1 and verse 2 says this, in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before the world began. In hope of eternal life. What's your hope like of eternal life? Pretty ordinary? Pretty average? If death was to look you in the eye 5 minutes after leaving church tonight, would your eternity be secure? According to God, it is. He's upholding his end of the bargain. Number three, God is faithful because he prepared a way out for us whenever trouble surrounds us. He's faithful. Listen to what Paul writes to the church in Corinth in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation will also make the way out of escape, that you may be able to bear it. That's a scripture you should have underlined, highlighted, circled in your Bible. Listen to the way the voice says it. Any temptation you face will be nothing new. But God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond what you can handle. But he always provides a way of escape so that you'll be able to endure and keep moving forward. I like that little bit at the end. I don't want to be stuck in my failures. I don't want to be stuck in my spots where I messed up. I don't want to be stuck in my place where I let fear take over, doubt take over, unbelief take over. I want to be able to move forward, because why? God has promised me a way out. Amen? Amplified, if I may. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13. No temptation, regardless of its source, has overtaken or enticed you that is not common to human experience. Nor is any temptation unusual or beyond human resistance. Selah moment. Have a pause. Have a think about that. No temptation. Here's a word to stand on this week. No temptation, regardless of its source. Oh, it's that crazy driver, you know, Jeff. It's their fault. Well, you fell into the temptation. Blame the crazy driver. Blame the white lines on the road. Blame the police officer that should have stopped that speedy driver 5 kilometres back. Blame all you like, but the Bible promises you and it promises me that whether it was the devil, whether it was a man, whether it was a woman, whether it was a sheep, whether it was a goat, whether it was a cow, whether it was a sparrow, no temptation, regardless of its source, has overtaken or enticed you that is not common to human experience. But Pastor Lou, you don't understand. I don't understand, but God does. God knows every experience, every temptation, every enticement that you may be going through or about to go through. God knows. I like this, and it goes on to say, nor is any temptation unusual or beyond human resistance. There's always a way out through God. Then we have this little semicolon, and it says, but God. I love the but gods. But God is faithful to his word. He is compassionate and trustworthy. And not just a but God, it's an and. And he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability to resist. Blame the devil all you like. Blame that crazy driver. Blame your husband or your wife. Blame the cat, the dog, the budgie, the canary. God promises in his word, he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability to resist. There's another but. But along with the temptation, he has in the past and is now and will always provide a way out as well. Let's think. God is so faithful in his promise towards you, towards me, towards us, that he will not allow any temptation or enticement into our lives that we cannot stand against. And if we can't stand against it, he will additionally give us a way out. Isn't that awesome? He doesn't judge you, he doesn't pull you down, he doesn't discourage you, he doesn't send you back to base one. He says, no, I'm going to give you a way out. I love that about God. I love that about you, God. And he, in the past, and is now, and will always provide the way out as well, so that you will be able to endure it. In this lovely little parenthesis, without yielding, and will overcome temptation with joy. Woohoo! Joy's coming for the ride. Small joke, sorry. He is faithful because he has prepared a way out for us whenever trouble surrounds us. Awesome God. Awesome God. Number four, he's faithful because he loves us. Love, mercy, faithfulness always walk together. Love, mercy, and faithfulness always walk together. Psalm 117. You ready for a long psalm? You ready? I'm going to read it to you. I praise the Lord, all you nations. Praise him, all you people. For his mercy and loving kindness are great towards us. And the truth and faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. End of the psalm. Woo! We ought to do that as a memory verse. Not only next Sunday morning will you be expected to seat in a different chair, but you'll have a memory verse, Psalm 117. Oh, praise the Lord. A couple of people. All the nations, all the people that love God should be there. Praising the Lord. Praise him, all you people, for his mercy and his loving kindness are great towards everyone except me. Me but no one else? Toward us. And the truth and faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. That's worth a praise the Lord. Hallelujah, isn't it? Awesome God. We can only be faithful to someone we love. That's the bottom line. We can only be faithful to someone we love. I was talking to a woman the other day and she said, did I ever tell you that my husband who I divorced was unfaithful to me while we were married? No. Do I need to know? She said, well, it's interesting. She said, I was thinking about it the other day, and she said, we were in bed together. He was sound asleep, and I was reading this magazine. And in that magazine, it had all these tick points as to when you know someone is being unfaithful to you. And she said, I went, not funny. And you know, it wasn't Judy talking to me. You know. She said, I ticked every box and I felt in my heart, he's already been unfaithful to me. And she said, what happened? I loved him and I was always faithful. He didn't love me fully and he became unfaithful toward me. We can only be faithful to someone we love. That's why God is so faithful to us. Because he loves us. He's faithful because he loves us. And nothing will and nothing can separate us from his mighty love. Amen? Romans 8. Come to Romans 8. Romans 8, verses 31 to 39. Nothing, no one can separate us from his love. What then shall we say to all this? God is for us. Who can be against us? Who can be our foe if God is on our side? I'm reading from the Amplified. He who did not withhold or spare even his own son, but gave him up for us all, will he not also with him freely and graciously give us all other things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect when it is God who justifies? That is, who puts us in right relationship to himself? Who shall come forward and accuse or impeach those whom God has chosen? Will God, who acquits us? Who is there to condemn us? Will Christ Jesus, the Messiah, who died, or rather who was raised from the dead, who is at the right hand of God, actually pleading as he intercedes for us? Who shall ever separate us from Christ's love? Will suffering and affliction and tribulation, or calamity and distress, or persecution or hunger, or destitution or peril or sword? Even as it is written, for thy sake we are put to death all the day long, we are regarded and counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet amidst all these things, we are more than conquerors and gain a surpassing victory through him who loved us. For I am persuaded beyond doubt, I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things impeding or threatening, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. You know, you can run away from a lot of things. You can run away from a lot of places. Run away from your family, from your job, from your situation, from your circumstance. Friends, you'll never be able to run away from his love. Because he's faithful. To say that God is faithful is to say that God is committed to you and for you. be steadfastly devoted to you and looking forward to pulling you out from the rubble that's of your life. And because he's faithful, he protects you as well. There's a story of a young man who was an atheist. He was training to be an Olympic diver. The only spiritual influence that came into his life was from a Christian friend who tried to share the good news about Christ with him whenever and however he could. Well, the diver wasn't very interested. He wasn't interested even in spiritual matters, full stop. And he certainly made it loud and clear to his friend. One night, the diver went to the indoor pool, the local training college he attended, to practice. The lights were out, but the moon was bright. There was plenty of light to practice his dives. The young man climbed to the highest diving board, and as he turned his back to the pool, with his toes on the edge of the board, he extended his arms out, ready to jump. And he saw his shadow on the wall. Shadow, shape of the cross. Instead of diving, he knelt down and asked Jesus, finally, to come into his life. As he stood up to assume his position on the diving board, the cleaner came in to clean around the edge of the pool and turned all the lights on. The diver gasped in horror because the pool had been drained for repairs. God's faithful. In so many ways, God is faithful to us, to you, to me, to his church. Even if we didn't do it deliberately, he's still faithful to us. Friends, I believe with all my heart tonight that some of you are standing on that diving board today. That you're headed for trouble unless you turn your focus to Christ. That God's faithfulness is fully demonstrated. He's faithful. Not because he has to be. It's part of his nature. Part of his character. The nature and character of God will never change.